540.
Yes. All right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. A little unusual this morning, my trademark opening song of What's Going On by Marvin Gaye is not playing this morning, and I'm a little discombobulated. Yes. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, sorry. It's just some
Man, listen, man, that's all right, man. Things happen. But I've been listening to What's Going On since about 1970. The first time I ever heard Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, I was about 15, 16 years old. And there was something about it that still resonates with me, and here it is, what, 52 years later? And it still is my favorite song of all time, and it's why 5 days a week I begin my show with What's Going On, because there's always something else special about it that I don't that I remember, and something that I hear new constantly. So I'm really, really always excited every morning, every opportunity that I get to hear, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. But anyway, got a lot of things to talk about as always. I got some guests. I got a good friend, Mr. Billy Young, who's going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour out of Arizona. Mr. Young worked at a radio station that gave me my foray into talk radio, gave me an opportunity to get a chance to get behind the microphone and kind of do my own thing. And that is, as they say, the thing that catapulted me into doing this radio show. And so really excited about having Mr. Billy Young. We're going to cover a whole array of topics, but I want to begin. I don't know if I've got a guest on the line. Connor, do I have a guest on the line? Not quite yet.
Yeah, not yet. Sorry.
Okay. But I'm going to have a guest that's going to be joining me, who is, has been fighting the good fight, for, I don't know, 5 years or more now, and he has a program called Clear the Airs Project. And so Clear the Air Project is about radio. What a coincidence. It's about the music that is on radio stations in urban centers around this country that that gives some horrible signals and cause severe damage to young people all over this nation in the urban centers. We always talk about what is going on in those centers. We talk about why so much killing, why so much crime, why young people acting in the manner that they're acting. You're a young guy, Connor, you're 20 or so. And so what are your thoughts, man, about some of the horrible gangster music that appears on the airways? Did it have any impact on you?
I mean, honestly, like growing up in Chicago and stuff, it really did. It influenced a lot of the culture. I would always say that more of the stuff that was happening in those environments influenced the music, not the other way around, lack of access to education.
When you say lack of access to education,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like there haven't been schools.
Yeah, it's not really about that. It's just about having, qualified teachers and all the separate subjects that, are paid properly. Public schools, it's not as common, and a lot of the curriculum can just be changed you know, randomly without the consent of any parents, or parents are less active in their schools. And like, I think, I mean, there are lots of different issues, but the music and the culture, like, I think is all just a large reflection of those issues. Cause it, like in those environments, like that's where majority of the culture comes from in a way. So,
you know, I do know this much, man, and keep an eye out for my caller. I know the impact that the kind of music that my generation had listened to certainly impacted who I am today. Here we are talking 50 years later, and that music that impacted my life and kind of helped make me who I am is still as relevant today as it was then. Hence, as I stated before at the beginning of my show, with Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Mm-hmm. So here I am, a grizzled old man, and I'm still listening to the stuff that I listened to when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. Do you think that's going to be the case? Maybe as you and your generation, you know, gets to a point, and that's, you know, it's a heck of a question to ask a young guy. But that's the impact that music has on us.
Totally. I mean, I do. I definitely do think that a lot of the music that I've listened to by some of the artists that are really great, and some of my personal favorites we've listened to for a very, very long time. I think that, but I think, you know, now it's happening, like with music in particular, it's just you're seeing like people in my generation developing their own kind of tastes. And so because of streaming and stuff. And so like, I would say like back in the 60s and 70s, like when you had a song that was a lot larger and bands that were a lot larger, people generally knew more about them, and you had more people going out to concerts. I mean, especially like in a post-COVID society, it's like collectivizing around big artists doesn't happen anymore. Most of my friends listen to tons of like different musicians that no one's ever heard of, right? That all have like their own little small fan base. So I think more people will be remembered, but it'll just be like less people remembering them, if that makes any sense.
So in our time, all those different technologies weren't around.
Yeah.
So radio was the medium.
Exactly.
And that was it. We didn't have anything else. It was radio. And the impact that radio had on our generation is unfathomable. I mean, clearly radio is something that is a technology that is long since past its time and its prime. But the impact that it had, and still in many areas has today, but you know, you don't have a radio. Very few people have radios in their homes. Here I am, a radio talk show host, and I don't have a radio in my house. You know, there are very few people who still have them. But, you know, oh, that's right. My wife just bought one recently.
you can't forget that on air.
Yeah. but it's, you know, I mean, it's something that's, we're no longer talking about, we're no longer listening to, and yet radio stations have evolved and have morphed too. I mean, you know, you don't just have radio stations that do terrestrial radio. You've got radio that's you can get over the internet and all the other different services, and that's where people basically go to get that. And so a show like this one, even though it's local here, can be heard all over the nation via the web, you know. And so it's certainly the opportunities that exist through radio, the medium of radio, man, unlimited. But again, as I began the subject and what we're going to be talking about as we move forward with my first guest, who we'll probably catch after the first break, is about the impact of lyrics and the impact that they have on youth of today. And I would venture to say that probably our parents maybe thought that, you know, the some of the lyrics that were heard when we were children might have had some impact on us. And they surely did, because the lyrics that we were listening to with music, Connor, was during a time of civil rights unrest. And so the majority of those songs when I was a young man were addressing the injustice of what was going on in a society. And so today, I don't know, when you hear gangster rap music, is it having some, you know, I mean, the impact of that is not positive. It can't be positive, can it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess over in the past decade or so, a lot of popular music has been more for escaping reality versus like being aware of it, because at least younger people in my generation have been just so used to constantly getting like lots of in the social media news feeds and such, like lots of information about what's going on, and so music is like a numbing thing. Whereas, like I said, you know, previous to that, music was a lot more of a collective thing. So I mean, that's what I can say about it. I mean, do I think it's right or wrong? I mean, I personally prefer music that does have a message and does have, you know, like poignancy and meaning behind it. But I just kind of, there's lots of music that exists like that, you know?
Okay, so we've got to go to a break.
Yep.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. And I think my guest is going to be on the line. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let us hear a little bit more of that kind of before we move on. Donny Hathaway and What's Going On. You know, we began the show talking about the fact that I'm going to be joined by a guest this morning who is going to be speaking to a lot of students, about 200 students in a program that I started called Voices of the Elders. And these gentlemen have, you know, kind of traveled the country. And they are addressing, you know, the horrible lyrics in music that is impacting and affecting children's lives. You know, we constantly hear all over this nation, you know, the outcry of what's wrong with those people in their communities, with all the shooting and killing and all the crime that takes place in our neighborhoods. And so it is our belief, many of us who believe that the music that is allowed to be heard by young children and is targeted towards poor children in central cities across this nation are at the root of what is happening. And so there's a project called Clear the Airwaves that's been put together by my guests. And we're going to have a conversation with them, a quick conversation with them, as they are going to be speaking to the 200 children in our program this morning. And so as we await the call from my guests, you know, I just wanted to say and having this conversation and dialogue with Connor, who is a perfect person to bounce this off of, young, brilliant, well-spoken. And so he is has kind of articulated things that people from my generation don't know. Connor, do we have
We got Bernard from Milwaukee.
That's Bernard. Hey, yep, Bernard. Yep. Bernard, good morning to you, dear brother. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm looking forward to you guys coming in, man.
Looking forward to getting there.
Let's talk a little bit, man, about the Clear the Airwaves project, man. Let's talk about what that is.
Yes, sir. It's basically a project with a simple mission, and that is to get off these commercial radio stations music that demeans and degrades us and causes us to shoot and kill each other. Disrespects our women.
Go ahead.
You know, materialism, alcoholism, drug abuse, drug slinging, disrespect and kill each other. It's on the radio all the time, constantly.
So why don't you do this? Why don't you do this for me? Turn down your radio.
Okay,
because we're getting feedback from it. And then go ahead.
Okay, so it's a project that was started almost 10 years ago when Hydea.
Hey, we still got your radio on in the background.
Oh.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Okay. How about now? Is it better now?
That's better.
Okay. It's a project that was started when Hydea Pendleton was killed after going to the inauguration of
Barack Obama. You still got the radio on in the background. Maybe it's the cell phone, whatever it is. We're getting that feedback. So,
all right, let me do this.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we go to a break?
Hey, how about this?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's good.
So it was a project that was started when Hydea Pendleton, the student at Martin Luther King Academy in Chicago, went with the choir to sing at Barack Obama's second inauguration, only to come back home and be shot down in the street at our school grounds, pretty much at a park right next to our school. And we were already with a group called the Fraternal Citizens Against Violence in Gary, having a demonstration at the Ratchet Killer radio station in Chicagoland, Power 92.3. And we found out about another group out of Chicago that was doing a similar demonstration, Culture Freedom Group, in response to this killing of Hydea Pendleton and the music. They were at WGCI, so we hooked up with them, started meeting, and we formed the Clear the Airwaves Project. And since then, we've been dealing with these sponsors, protesting at sponsors, putting economic sanctions on them. We hooked up with the National Black Leadership Alliance out of New York City and around the country. And they were also with Brother Bob Law, also working with this initiative. We have this Respect Yourself initiative that's going on right now. We have a program called Turn It Off. This hashtag, Turn It Off, turn off any source of music that demeans and degrades our people, our women, any source of music that calls for the shooting and killing of black people. Hashtag, Turn It Off. We dealt with the FCC. We had filed complaints, formal complaints against the FCC, which they ignored us. I mean, they definitely ignored us and sided with the radio stations that play that poisonous music for our children all around the country. And we got some examples of what they still do and what they still do today. And just a myriad of things. I mean, we're just doing what we can do.
So let me do this, brother. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. On the line, Brother Kwabena, we've got to go to a break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guess is Brother Kwabenan of Clear the Airways Project. So Brother Kwabenan, as you guys are on your way into Milwaukee to have this dialogue and conversation with these 200 boys, you know, you said that you had a fight with the FCC. Let's talk about how that went.
I'm glad you asked that. The FCC has decency standards that they you know, they uphold the First Amendment rights of free speech, but they say because a lot of times on these platforms that they control or that they regulate, our children are listening. They say between the hours of 6 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock in the night, at night, that you can't play the indecent and profane content. And after 10 o'clock, they give a little leeway. But then they go on to say that obscene content is never allowed. And this is part of the standards, and you can file complaints against them, which we did. We filed plenty of complaints that are online. There's an online form where you can do that. But we also filed a formal complaint against them protesting the licenses of the iHeart station in Chicago that targets our children, called WGCI, and the other corporate broadcasting stations. And Crawford is a corporation that does gospel and conservative talk all around the country. But when it comes to Chicago, it's killer, ratchet, death music that targets African children. So we filed complaints against both those stations. The FCC made their attorneys of both those conglomerates respond to our complaints, and then we responded back. So it took over a year for them to give us an answer on GCI, the iHeart station, and well over 6 months for the Crawford station. We had to get our congressmen to intervene on our behalf and make the FCC give us a response. And in both cases, they decided against the people and with the radio stations that constantly violate their decency standards. They ruled against us. They said they trust that their licensees will broadcast content that's in the best interest of their listeners.
Did I hear you right, man? Gospel, they play gospel and rap music?
Yes, Crawford Broadcasting. They play, it's a gospel station in Chicago that they have, and they do a lot of, we'll be out there protesting, the preachers will be coming in and out playing their gospel. On that side of the building, and on the other side, they're playing songs talking about women, bees, and aces, talking about having throat babies and telling us to kill each other.
Hold on a second, man. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from LA. Hey, good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are the government. And must never forget that. Second, the Republican Party is either the pro-death party or the pro-murder party. What I want to ask, actually, just because I'm not educated completely in this, and I don't want my white privilege to get in the way, but I know whenever I hear a song, whether it's on some type of Spotify or anything like that on the radio that uses the N-word in any form or fashion, I turn it off, even if it's an artist that I actually like, because I just can't hear that. Also, on top of that, anything that's going to put down anybody or any other person, I can't listen to it. I guess I'm asking, what is it that I can do more of? You know, because a lot of people say, well, you know, it's just music, whatever. And then you have, you know, people that are of a fair melanin, you know, going and repeating the lyrics of these rappers and people like this. What is it that we can do? Or what is it I can do? I'll just say me. What is it that I can do more of to be able to, you know, just say that violence in music of any kind, or
let's do this, Tom. Brother Bernard, are you back? Bernard?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear the question from my guest? My caller.
I did.
He wants to know what is it that he can do, a white guy, who knows that this, you know, is not right. You know, what is there that can be done? He's in L.A. What do you say to him?
Utilize whatever resource we have, or organize with his peers or colleagues, and get down to those radio stations and let them know that, you know, it's unacceptable. We wouldn't allow people to play songs on the radio that talk about killing dogs. We would allow music on the radio that talks about killing any animals on this planet, but
that's true.
For some reason, it's okay to have mass promoted music on the radio that talks about killing black children and disrespecting black women and killing black women at that. So it's just basically just pointing out the obvious contradiction. We need everyone to do that. And for some reason, as our reality is, his voice will probably carry more weight under that radio station, but it's definitely something where everyone needs to stand up. We can do it ourselves, but it's going to take us a lot longer. But we appreciate any, allies we can pick up along the way.
Hey.
I appreciate them asking, but yeah, that would definitely help out a lot. Organize on that end and get down to those radio stations and let them know.
Hey, Tom.
If I can add, we've had several people of European descent at our demonstrations and working with us and understanding that. But also, a lot of these minstrel fests that they have all around the country that's going on right now, they're mostly populated by people of European descent who are at these countries enjoying this minstrel fest. We call it a minstrel fest because it's similar to what took place 100 years ago throughout this country. However, it's much more graphic and violent nowadays. So, you know, also, you know, demonstrate or protest against that too.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Hey, Connor, so guys, my engineer is a young guy, brilliant young guy. He's 20 years old. His name is Connor. Connor, what do you say to the conversation that's being had right now as you listen to the music or the lyrics of these songs? What do you want to say to my guests from the perspective of a young 20-year-old?
I mean, honestly,
From Chicago.
Honestly, you know, I would try my hardest to try to understand exactly, you know, a lot of the expression and a lot of the, you know, anger that comes in a lot of the music, and not necessarily be okay with the lyrics themselves, right? Because, you know, hate speech is hate speech. But at the same time, like, not letting that distract, you know, from the fact that, like, a lot of these experiences are really real experiences, and a lot of artists use, like, their music as a way to cope with going through those things and experiencing those things. And so having compassion for that is just as important as aligning yourself with, I think, the more long-term political or goals and to try to help these communities. And, like, that's what I think, you know.
I'll destroy that.
You guys want to respond to Connor?
Yes, definitely. Another reality, I mean, he's a European on radio stations. And so black quote-unquote reality is being filtered through European lenses. And as we know, a lot of these owners are definitely racist.
And so we're getting basically a definition or identification of the black community based on European perspectives. We don't own those radio stations. We don't own any of those platforms, which is why we get 99% degradation, self-destruction, materialism, consumerism, toxicity, consume drugs, drink alcohol. We're not getting reality or the reality of the black community. The reality of the black community is way much more than what we get over the radio. That's basically a perspective that leads to the damage that's going on in our community. It's being literally targeting our children. So all of that stuff, I mean, I hear what he's saying about it being some of our kids' reality, but as a teacher, as an educator for 20, 25 years, that is not even 25% of my kids' reality. It's the reality that's basically being poured into their self-conscious to try to basically encourage that behavior, to try to incite that behavior. And we're seeing it being played out in our communities on a daily basis. Five-month-old kids being shot in the head. It's not our reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it is that when you look at a lot of the music that is popular, specifically like the movements that started it, like, you know, drill music in Chicago, it's like that reality inspired that, and then that inspired a lot of the other artists. And like what you're talking about is the music industry, you know, exploiting, right, that inspiration that happens afterwards, right? Because what happens is that you do have things that happen, you do have realities that do affect people, but then, you know, the industry is what you're talking about, exploits it, you know, for more gain. And so but Tom was talking about earlier, he said that, like, you know, he didn't want to listen to certain music, you know, with certain, you know, like the N-word and stuff. And it's like, there's lots of music that exists. There's lots of artists that aren't even play on the radio, but still have, you know, a really good fan base that talk about these problems, and explain these problems and have a really big fan base, you know? So I think it isn't as terrible as the 80s or as the 90s where the music industry was heavily controlled. I guess in my perspective, you know, because I'm younger, I've listened to so many different types of artists and, you know, supported artists that do, you know, work in these communities and have organizations and such. So I don't think it's ultimately a large, you know, a grand thing. I do think that more artists and more individuals that are in the hip hop and in the rap care about the communities and do invest more time than not. So the industry is something that I can agree, you know, is the problem ultimately.
So Young Connor is a musician himself. And so, Brother Kwabena?
You know, when I hit it on the head, I would just say that more so than exploiting it, they are promoting it and pushing it and force feeding it down the mouths and the minds of the masses of our people. That's mainly what they're doing. Life imitates art, they say, but art, it goes both ways. Art imitates life also. But in the case of this ratchet killer music that they push and play constantly, it's more so they are promoting it. Because there's so many, like Tana did say, there's so many other artists and hip-hop artists and rap artists who do not demean and degrade. They understand that it's that the responsibility that they have. And there's plenty of artists that don't do that. But however, they're censored from these killer radio stations because they're not talking about the things that an artist is. The exploitation, the disrespect, the demeaning, the materialism, the killing, the drug abuse, they're not dropping in bombs on us. So, no, they more so promote it. And there's space for all types of music, artistic expression.
Yeah.
But the main course on the radio, per FCC regulations and common sense, should not be what it is right now, where most of the music is self-destructive. Should not be the main course that's being consumed by our children.
But we do know that is what makes money. And because it makes money, it is what is going to be played. And I think that's at the root of what it is you guys are talking about, you know.
Yeah. Let me say something about that.
So let me do this, Brother Quad. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. We'll give you guys another chance. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
The whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA. The
like CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, love is found. Now ask yourself.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Brother Kwabena and Brother Bernard, who are coming here this morning to have a conversation with about 200 boys, 10 to 15 years old, about the Clear the Airways Project. Now, guys, you just heard the song that opened up just now. That's great, man. Why can't we have more of that?
That's a good question. We were just talking before we went to commercial about it being pretty much just profit driven. And the reality, I mean, they have an agenda as well. It coincides with, you know, they're making money. Of course, they want to make money too, but they can make money by putting us in jail, locking us up. I want to use the example of Public Enemy, and there's several different groups that fall into the same category that were making these industries. These industry heads are whole, making them a whole bunch of money. They decide to change the message because the message helps to self-destruct the neighborhood. We had like Public Enemy, Brand Nubian, Four Righteous Seizures. We were buying that music and we were going to those concerts too. And so it's not just profit, it's also messaging and what the message does to these kids, what it gets them to do. Filling up these prisons, shooting each other, that sort of thing. If you think about on the macro level, gentrification, people in these neighborhoods of black and brown people. So if you got music that's encouraging the kids to kill each other, you got some that are dying, you got some that are going to jail, you got people that are fearful living in those neighborhoods, so they're just voluntarily moving out. So it's across the board. And I want to add, like, there's an artist from Milwaukee, Speech Thomas from Arrested Development.
Right.
Their first. And he talked about how their first album made buku money for the record company. The second album, because the messages were just as good, if not better, than the first album, the record company deep sixed them. They didn't promote the album. They didn't do anything to help promote the band. And the first album won Grammys. So it wasn't all about the music. It's about the messages that this industry. It's not all about the money, but it's sometimes it's about the messages that this, we'll call them devilish, music industry wants to put out. To the people, because they know the importance and the influence of music.
So let me ask you guys, man. Could people say on the other side of this rock music and what rock music does to the listeners of it, that it's more than just what's happening, you know, with the music in our communities? Kind of, I think you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think generally. Whether it be rock or whether it be hip hop music.
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Yeah, sorry. Well, Earl, like, do you have any ideas of like what any parallels that you could draw between the two?
You mean between rock and hip hop?
Like, insofar as influence.
Gangster rap?
Yeah.
No, I mean, man, I can't. Probably if I had time, I could, but maybe, guys, is it maybe that we shouldn't be even looking at the parallel because looking at the strewn, the bodies strewn all over our neighborhoods and communities and the impact that this is having on our communities and the future of our people, that there is no comparison?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to hint at, because I think when it comes to hip-hop music and a lot of the portrayals, you know, gangster... you know, culture and drugs and I mean, the entire culture. People have to understand that, like, a lot of that comes from direct things that, a lot of that was originated in specifically direct things that the government did to inner city, like, communities, right? Like the crack cocaine epidemic being a specific plot by the government to put crack in these neighborhoods to then gain money to then sell to communist front groups in Nicaragua in the 80s. And, like, the labeling as super predators, or the Bill Clinton's 1990s crime bill, which all these specific government policies and actions, right, attributed to a lot of the problems in which we see, which then influenced the culture. Like, hip hop specifically started in the in the late 70s, but it became more popular in the mid 80s. And those institutional problems were already present, right? And that was right after the, you know, Great Society programs of the 60s. And you had a lot of, let's say discrimination wasn't, let's say, prominent at a federal level, but it definitely was more prominent at a municipal level at that time. And so that's why, like, you can't really draw any parallels, because in rock music, a lot of the "they influence our children negatively" rhetoric is based around religion, you know, like with metal music being devilish or whatever. And that's purely superstition. With hip hop, a lot of the negative influence, yeah, it is negative influence. Like, yes, it is. Like, I'm not going to be the one to say that culture isn't negatively influencing children, but at the same time, it's a direct response into things that we can directly trace that were institutional things or issues that the government directly did to these communities, that they've also tried to label as conspiracy theories or lacking evidence, despite the fact that there's tons of evidence on these things. And so that's one thing I would want to say.
Yeah, he made very good points. There's definitely a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff besides the music.
Yeah.
The music is a major issue, but as he indicated, I mean, black people have always been oppressed in this country. There's a function of that oppression. Black people have always been the majority of us. Or many of us always also been poor, too. With that poverty comes the other manifestations of criminality, depravity, all sorts of issues. All of that stuff comes hand in hand with it. What was I going to say in connection to that? What were we just talking about? But, you know, the rate. Oh, so all those issues have always been present, but in terms of morality, values, the black community has also always had more high morality, ethics, values, you know, how we raised our kids, things that we pushed on our kids, things that were in the music. Nina Simone, Bob Marley, Fela Kuti, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Commodores. I think I already mentioned Marvin Gaye, the Isley Brothers, Harvest for the World. We've always had music that basically pushed the morality, the ethics, the values that were in our culture, that were embedded within our culture. And so what's changed is the messaging and the music. It used to be that even the gangs in the community, if you shot a 5-month-old baby in the head, you were dealt with immediately. If you shot an elder in the community, the gangs would deal with you immediately. So now we don't even have that. The values have dropped so much. And that's a result of the music. Because, again, the poverty...
So, brothers, thank you very much. We got to go to a break. I will see you guys later on this morning.
Thank you.
Be safe. All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back.